Revelation chapter 18. We'll just keep moving along here. We should finish this before Christmas, our study in Revelation. You notice I've titled the message, "The Butcher of Baghdad." That's what they called Saddam Hussein. He was called the Butcher of Baghdad. Show us the map we've got of that area. Wait a minute, I got a new toy. Somebody stole my last one, so I'm going to have to keep an eye on this one. After Bible school, that thing disappeared. But I want you to see what we're talking about here. If you're not familiar with the Middle East, this thing's not working. It worked yesterday. I played with it. There it goes. All right, here's Israel over here. Then you got Jordan, Syria, Iraq. There's Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, and Iran. Now, all this is in Bible prophecy, especially in the end times. Iraq is ancient Babylonia. And the city of Babylon is, I believe, north of Baghdad. And it's in ruins today. It's never been rebuilt, as God said it would never be rebuilt. But something interesting about this, all this land was what was promised to Israel, to Abraham. From here all the way to the Euphrates was to be given to Israel. Now, see what they got here? Not much. All of this will be theirs during the millennium. They'll be given all that territory. And during the thousand-year reign of Christ, it will be the leading nation of the world. Show us a picture of Saddam. Well, there's his statue. Now, those pictures were everywhere in the land of Iraq. He had those pictures everywhere. To people would see that and idolize him. And after they fell to the American forces and allies, you see that statue that he made? Remember that? Well, there's a rope around it. They're fixing to tear that thing down. His own people did that to the Butcher of Baghdad because they loved him so much. But what's interesting is Saddam claimed to be a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is the one. Nimrod started Babylon. Then later on, Nebuchadnezzar turned it into a world empire and was a great emperor. Saddam fancied himself the next Nebuchadnezzar. He said he was a reincarnation. He was going to rebuild the city of Babylon. And he had an image. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had an image that everybody was to bow down to. And so Saddam had to have his own image for the people to see and worship. So we're going to talk about this area and what the Bible says concerning Babylon. You know, for years, Iraq was very unimportant as a nation. But in 1979, Saddam Hussein became the president of Iraq. And he lifted that country to the forefront of world attention. It had a lot of oil. And so there's a lot of wealth there. There's a lot of ways that he can manipulate the nations of the world because of their need for oil. And he would use that as a bargaining chip. And he built a great nation there in Iraq as far as their wealth is concerned. But he is a very ruthless, barbaric ruler. He had a lot of blood on his hands. He, just to give you an idea of the kind of guy we're talking about, a few weeks after becoming president of Iraq, and some of y'all may have seen this on TV, remember they had that session with the leaders of government, and he was calling their name out, and they would take them out one at a time? How many of you have seen that? You can go on YouTube and see it. It's just amazing. People were, grown men were bawling and crying because they were being taken out to be shot. And these were members of his own Ba'ath party in a war with Iran. One of his generals came into the office to discuss some of their battlefield losses, and Hussein got so aggravated, he pulled out his pistol and shot him in the head, killed him. One of his own generals. Another cabinet member suggested to Hussein that maybe he should step down for the good of the country, and Saddam pulled out his pistol and shot him right then and there. And there's just many stories about him and his sons like that. He turned on his own people, the Kurds, his own citizens. He used chemical weapons against them. He had two sons-in-law that were in exile in Jordan, married to his daughters. He promised them that he would give them a pardon if they would come back to Iraq. They came back and he had them executed. Now, as I said, ancient Babylon is present-day Iraq. The name has been changed to protect the guilty. But a lot of these Bible prophecies are centered in that area of Israel and Iraq. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about Babylon, the commercial part of Babylon. We've seen the religious, how Babylon was the beginning of idolatry and pagan worship. But then we think about the commercial side of Babylon. Let's read the first 10 verses in Revelation chapter 18. John continues to say, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, that she receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and live deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come." Let's think about this tonight. First of all, let's think about a biblical definition of Babylon. Now we've noted Babylon is given great prominence in the Bible. Only Jerusalem is mentioned more often than Babylon among the cities of the Bible. Babylon is mentioned 286 times in the scriptures. At times a reference is to a literal city of Babylon. Sometimes it's a reference to spiritual Babylon. We've noted that already. That Babylon can be a code word, speaking of something symbolic. So think about the identification of Babylon. Now remember, we said the first time it's mentioned is back in Genesis chapter 11. We've talked about how Nimrod led out in building the Tower of Babel. And he built the city of Babylon, a city-state that he wanted to be the capital of the world. And as we said, it became the cradle of false religion because Nimrod, the rebel, taught people how to rebel against Jehovah God. But it was during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar that Babylon rose to become a world empire. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" He was a humble fellow, wasn't he? But Babylon was great. Now, there's no doubt that it was the great Babylon with the famous hanging gardens, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And Nebuchadnezzar built a great empire that was legendary. Daniel lived most of his life in present-day Iraq. Now, later the Babylonians were conquered by the Medes and Persians. Persia, by the way, is modern-day what? Iran. So here's Iran and Iraq mentioned prominently in the Bible. And the Persians defeated the Babylonians and built an empire. And the old city of Babylon was destroyed. It was destroyed and is in ruins today. So think secondly about the location of Babylon. It's interesting. It's south of Baghdad. I think I said north a while ago, but it's actually south of Baghdad. And any fulfillment of prophecy concerning Babylon, you would think would have to take place in the country of Iraq, in that area. Now, we've mentioned how that is the cradle of civilization. The Euphrates River is mentioned in Genesis. That is where the Garden of Eden was. That is where man first fell into sin. So it's a central place of Bible history and prophecy. We think about what's going on today. Now, you can take a daily newspaper in one hand and your Bible in the other hand, and both speak of prophecy being fulfilled. You see in the newspaper things happening that the Bible predicted would happen. Now, sometimes we have a hard time distinguishing between the good news and the bad news, don't we? Now, what's good and what's bad? Reminds me of a woman who met up with an old friend she hadn't seen in many years, never talking. And she told her old friend, she said, "Well, I got married." Her friend said, "What's good?" She said, "No, he was very mean to me." She said, "Oh, that's bad." She said, "But he was very rich." "Oh, that's good. But he's very stingy." "Oh, that's bad. But he did build me a beautiful new house." "Well, that's good. But it burned down." "Oh, that's bad. But he was in it." Is that good? You don't know anymore. Good news from bad news. And we see things happen. We say, "That's bad. That's bad." What did Jesus say? In Luke 21:28, when he says, when you see all these bad things happening, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about his coming. The redemption of our bodies is going to take place when the Lord Jesus comes and we are raptured and the dead in Christ are resurrected. So, yes, some bad things are happening, but they've got to happen before Christ can come. So lift up your heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Another name for Babylonia was Chaldea. You've read about the Chaldeans in the Bible. Where'd Abraham come from? Ur of Chaldea. Abraham was a Chaldean. You might even say Abraham was a Babylonian. He left Chaldea and went to the Canaan land. And during the Babylonian captivity where Daniel and them were taken, they were actually taken back to where it all started. Back to where Abraham had come from. So I guess you could say that they're related to the Babylonians through Abraham. But there's the Chaldeans and the Babylonians that are very prominent in the scriptures. Second, I want you to think about the historical description of Babylon. As I said, you see in the Bible, speaking of Babylon in a historical manner and also in a prophetical manner. We see here, Babylon, although she's great in antiquity, she's also great in iniquity. Her iniquity is going to cause her to receive double trouble, as we see in our passage. I think about the enormous guilt of Babylon. We've talked about how she symbolizes rebellion against God. She ushered in false religion. She is the fountainhead of astrology. You know, the Tower of Babel, trying to build a tower that would reach into heaven. Now, they weren't trying to get to where God is. Really, the idea is it would be a place to worship the stars and the zodiac. It was the fountainhead of astrology. Now, astronomy is a science. That's good. Astrology is a pagan belief that you don't need to be involved in. They say that there's 1 billion people today devoted to astrology. I hope you're not one of those billion. They say there's 185,000 astrologers, those who are leaders in astrology, here in America, 185,000 astrologers. Did you know it was that popular? The horoscope, the zodiac, it's all involved in this. And a lot of people get involved in this and are fascinated by it. But here's a city-state established by Nimrod, strengthened by Nebuchadnezzar, and here it comes in the last days. It says the wine of her fornication has been bottled for many, many centuries. People are still drinking of this religion from Babylon. She has filled her cup of sin to the brim, we see in verses 5 and 6. Somebody said, you know, she tried to build a tower that would reach into heaven, but she has been successful in building a tower of sin that has reached into heaven, and God is going to judge. That sin has ripened, and it's now time for God's judgment upon this system. He talks about the blood that she's guilty of, the blood of many martyrs. You know, modern day Islam is the great persecutor of God's people today. Radical Muslims are persecuting and killing Christians and Jews all over the world. Wherever they have power, they use it to persecute Christians and Jews. Saddam Hussein, he wanted to be an overlord in the Muslim world. I don't think there's any doubt he was demon-possessed. Do you? I think Saddam was possessed of demons. And throughout Iraq, there were these life-size pictures of Hussein. There were these images of Hussein. He wanted people to worship him and treat him as a god. He wanted to rebuild the city of Babylon and make it the center of his new empire. As I said, he fancied himself to be the next Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted to rebuild Babylon. And he did start, he built a palace there with a Greek theater. And he wanted to rebuild the city completely and make it a model city of the world. But God had other plans. Whatever happened to Saddam anyway? God took care of him and frustrated his plans because it wasn't time for this. The second thing, I want you to see the emerging glory of Babylon. Of course, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, it was sitting high and pretty. Her crowning sins were pride and presumption. Somebody once said that she's like the rich fool of the nations. Remember the parable Jesus gave of the rich fool? I have much goods laid up for many years. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. You know, sometimes nations can have that kind of an attitude. The Bible prophesies that in the last days, this region is going to be incredibly wealthy. There's going to be an opulent style of living there. The oil in the Middle East is going to make that happen. And we talked this morning about the beast turning on Mystery Babylon, the harlot. The harlot being false religion. Now, they worked together probably for 3 years or so. But then the Antichrist decides he doesn't like her anymore. And he wants to get rid of her. He sees all the wealth that she has, and he desires that wealth for himself. And so he no longer needs this religion. He puts it away and declares himself to be God. And all worship should be directed to him. He is considered invincible. Who can war against the beast? By the way, when you look at how the lost, the unbelievers are living, and it looks like they're having so much fun, don't envy them. Don't envy them. Judgment is coming upon them. You don't want to be part of that. If you're a lover of Babylon, my friend, you are following a lost cause. How's this judgment going to come? When you read this, what does this remind you of? The destruction that comes upon her. And people standing afar off for fear of the smoke of her burning. Does that kind of remind you of a nuclear attack? An atomic blast coming upon this great city? Says the destruction is sudden. In 1 hour, she is destroyed. That's not a normal war, is it? It's a fiery destruction, utterly burned with fire. They watch from afar off for fear of her torment. They want to be a safe distance away from a mushroom cloud that's ascending over this city. Now, John, keep in mind, John, from the first century, is trying to describe something he's seeing in the 21st century. He didn't know anything about atomic warfare, did he? So, an angel says, John, I'm going to give you an illustration of what it's going to be like. Look at verse 21 in chapter 18. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The idea of this, like a great millstone hurled into a sea, and you can think about the concentric shock waves that go out from that. And that is a description of what's coming upon Babylon. Except it's not going to be a concentric of water, but of fire. Going out like a mushroom cloud of a nuclear explosion. I think it's possible. Who's going to drop an atom bomb on Babylon? Israel has them. Israel has nuclear weapons. And folks, what we've been seeing lately, it's very apparent that this could happen. No, Israel's already knocked out one nuclear reactor over there. They're building another one. And it may be that Iraq and other Syria and Jordan, some of these others may come together to attack Israel, maybe using biological weapons against them. And it may be that for Israel to survive, the only thing she can do is use her nuclear weapons to destroy this city. Now, I don't know if that's for sure or not, but that's a possibility. But that could happen. Third thing I want you to see is the prophetic destruction of Babylon. Keep in mind, we're looking into the future here. A time of double trouble for Babylon. Two thoughts here. First, there's a destruction that will make this world to tremble. The devastation that's going to come upon Babylon will greatly affect the international business market of the world. Great conglomerates will go under. Merchant ships and tankers in the Persian Gulf will watch in horror as they see the destruction of this great city. Matter of fact, we kind of see today what it's like for tankers to be not able to come in to unload their cargo. You ever seen pictures of how many are out there in the ocean? Not able to come in? By the way, if it's made in America, you don't have to worry about that. Amen. Is that stuff made in China? They ought to take it back to China. But we see that today. And here's the thing. Now, you may think, well, Brother West, I'm confused. You're talking about Babylon. You've already said Babylon is in ruins. There is no city of Babylon. Are you saying that Babylon has to be rebuilt? And if so, we're running out of time if we're where we think we are. You know, it's funny. I've listened to a lot of people, a lot of preachers trying to explain these verses. Some of them say that Babylon must be rebuilt. That this is literally Babylon. It's going to be destroyed. But I got a problem with that because God said it would never be rebuilt. Let's look at that. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 13. In Isaiah chapter 13, the prophet Isaiah prophesies against Babylon. Chapter 13, look at verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed, never rebuilt. Matter of fact, it's believed the Dead Sea is where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. He says of Babylon, verse 20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, the dragons in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, her days shall not be prolonged. So God says, Babylon shall be destroyed, never to be rebuilt, never to be inhabited again. Go to Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is in agreement with Isaiah concerning Babylon. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1, says, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 3, for out of the north there comes up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. None shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Jeremiah 51, look at verse 24. And I will render unto Babylon, to all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, who destroyest all the earth. Talk about Babylon. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, roll thee down from the rocks, and make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate, forever, saith the Lord. Verse 37, Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, and astonishment, and hissing without an inhabitant. Verse 61, Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, that thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. So my question is, how can Babylon be rebuilt if God said it's never going to be rebuilt? Now listen to all these preachers who say Babylon must be rebuilt, but they never ever go back and explain the prophecies against Babylon. They just ignore that. I don't see how you can ignore that. God says Babylon will be destroyed, will be desolate, never to be rebuilt. So if it's not literal Babylon being rebuilt, then Babylon must be a code word and symbolic of something else. Remember back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, we saw there that Israel is called Sodom and Egypt. Go back to Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 8. Give you an idea of what we're talking about here, how a name can be used in as a code word. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Talk about the two witnesses that were killed, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Where was he crucified? Jerusalem. So here Jerusalem is symbolically referred to as Sodom and Egypt. Because in the last days it's going to become the religious capital of the Antichrist. And full of demons and pagan worship. And it's going to look more like Sodom and Egypt than the Jerusalem that it once was. So here they're used symbolically. So I'm thinking Babylon here in chapter 18 is being used symbolically, not a literal rebuilding of Babylon, but of another city that is like Babylon. A paganistic, idolatrous city that teaches their people to hate and rebel against God. Some think it's Rome, that this is a reference to Rome, symbolically called Babylon. And there's something to that. 1 Peter 5:13, Peter talks about the church that is in Babylon salutes you. He's in Rome when he writes this. The church at Rome, he refers to as the church in Babylon. Now, some maybe think he did that for maybe censorship of as a prisoner in Rome. If authorities saw this, that there is a church in Rome, they might try to seek these Christians out to destroy them. So he uses a symbolic reference that the Christian people would understand. So it might be Rome that is being referred to here. That the destruction will fall upon Rome. Lately, there's more and more preachers saying they think it's New York. Or maybe Washington, D.C. Could be this Babylon that's being spoken of here. Or some other major modern city that will become a headquarters for the Antichrist. So I don't know. Like I said, I researched this very thoroughly, and I don't know. So if you figure it out, you might want to share it with me later. But I have a hard time believing a literal Babylon will be rebuilt, because that would go against the scriptures. Second, I want you to see a destruction of this city that should make the world to think. Now keep in mind, we've talked about how Jesus comes and takes his people out. before the tribulation period. And right now, folks, we're to be looking for Christ to come. Don't be looking for the Antichrist. Look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch and pray, for he will soon come to take his people out. We look at the signs of the times. We realize that we're in the end times. The coming of Christ is near at hand. We look around and see what's going on in the Middle East. And the enemies of Israel, you know, they're all mentioned. Ezekiel names the enemies of Israel in the last days. He names Iraq, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya. Folks, the nations right now who are the sworn enemies of Israel were named by a prophet named Ezekiel hundreds of years before Christ. That was not just a lucky guess. God revealed that to him. So there's a contrast. There's two Babylons being spoken of, 17 and 18. The ecclesiastical Babylon in chapter 17, the commercial Babylon in chapter 18. The kings will rejoice in the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon. They will weep and lament the destruction of commercial Babylon. I know a lot of people, they get scared when you try to show them what the book of Revelation is about. We've got people that would rather remain in ignorance when it comes to this. They say, it's scary. This stuff is scary. Well, if I was lost, I'd be scared. But folks, this is all part of God's great plan. This all must take place before Christ can return in glory to establish his millennial kingdom. And none of this should take us by surprise. Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief in the night." Be ready. His coming is very soon. I have a firm conviction that the saints of the church age are not going to go through the great tribulation. I believe in a pre-trib rapture, that Christ is going to take us out. You know, when a country declares war on another country, before they do that, they take their ambassadors home, don't they? Before they declare war, the ambassadors are brought home. You know, the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that? And before God declares war on a Christ-rejecting world, he's going to call his ambassadors home. That's a good place for an amen. All you ambassadors ought to be glad of that. We'll stand together. We'll have a hymn of invitation. Again, we always want to offer an opportunity, if we have any with us that has not come to know Christ as Savior, we'd like to invite you to do that tonight. You can be ready for the Lord to come. Bible plainly says that the Lord wants everybody to get saved. It's not God's will that any should perish. And lost friend, he's only a prayer away. If you'll just pray and ask Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life, trust him as your Savior, he'll do so tonight. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me."